Okay, make sure you're in fellowship. As here in the doctrine of Satan and satanic counterfeits, we're looking at names and titles that are given to Satan. These descriptive as regards to his person in one form or fashion. He had three pre-fall names that he was known by: Lucifer, Son of the Morning, and the Anointed Cherub of Covers. The remainder of the slew of names that we have here is based on his post-fall condition in his open rebellion and antagonism towards God and his plan. He is obviously known as Satan, the adversary, the devil, which means accuser or slanderer, the evil one, as he is the primary source of evil, promoter of all evil. Roman numeral 2, subpoint D, subpoint 4. The next in the list is the serpent. He's known as the serpent. In the Hebrew, that's Nakash, N-A-C-H-A-S-H. In the Greek, Ophis, O-P-H-I-S. This emphasizes his deceptiveness, a practice and primary cause of cursing upon the world, as he is referred to, as we saw in Genesis 3:14. He is further described as a serpent of old, pointing to the antiquity of his practice back to the creation of man, used in Revelation 12:9. We saw first session, the great dragon was thrown down, another title, serpent of old, is called the devil and Satan, and also 20 verse 2, which we've seen. 5, he is called the dragon. The Hebrew is Tanin, T-A-N-N-I-N. The Greek, Drakon, D-R-A-K-O-N. He is the dangerous but seldom seen monster, dwelling in the sea of humanity, ultimately to be slain. Dragon being a sea-dwelling creature in the Old Testament. Title is used thus, Isaiah 27:1. In that day, the Lord will punish the Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, with his fierce and great and mighty sword. Even Leviathan, the twisted serpent, again, additional names. And he will kill the dragon who lives in the sea. Isaiah 51:9. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the days of old, the generations of long ago. Was it not you who cut Rahab, another term, in pieces, who pierced the dragon? And then New Testament, he was referred often with this name in the book of Revelation. Particular chapters at hand, Revelation 12. Verses 3 and 4, another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, reference to Satan, via the constellation, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads were 7 diadems, and his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven, denoting that one third of the angelic host, whatever line he fed them, rebelled also, joined the rebellion, obviously denotes their own negative volition, using the tail as a dragon would have, and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. That is a prophecy, if you will, or looking at Herod the Great, killing all the firstborn male children. in relationship to Christ's birth. Verse 7, the Star Wars, war in heaven between Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. The dragon and his angels waged war. Also 9, the great dragon, serpent of old, that list of titles. Verse 13, the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth. He persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. The intensity of persecution and heat dramatically increases after this Star War event. In verses 16 and 17, and the earth helped the woman. The earth opened its mouth and drank up the river which the dragon poured out of its mouth, trying to flood out those who were fleeing from the onslaught. The dragon was enraged with the woman, went off to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus as believers. Then also chapter 13, in relationship to the Antichrist. Verse 2, the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. Antichrist is possessed ultimately and has full resource of Satan himself in seeking to carry out his agenda. Verse 4, and they worship the dragon, and they worship Antichrist, Alexander the Great, seek to deify him or whatever. They're actually worshiping Satan himself. Then verse 11, another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon, a representative of the evil demonic viewpoint that will come out of the New World Order at that point in time in history. And then 16:3, that was 16:13. Thank you. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast. Thank you. And then 20, verse 2. Again, we've seen that verse. Then under this personification, under this title, he's also known as we've seen, Leviathan. The Hebrew, Leviathan. Leviathan, also known there as the fleeing and twisted serpent. Saw Job, we have a look at Job 3:8. Let those cursed who curse today who are prepared to rouse Leviathan. Engaging in the evil activity arouses, if you will, Satan. Job 41:1. Can you draw out Leviathan with a fish hook? Dual reference there. Then Psalm 74:14. You did crush the heads of Leviathan, God. The heads of Leviathan, you did give him as food for the creatures of the wilderness. Destruction of those who represented him, Isaiah 27:1. that day the Lord would punish Leviathan, the twisted serpent. 1 verse point C, again, the dragon who lives in the sea. And then B, Rahab, we mentioned him, that name earlier, Hebrew, Rahab, R-A-H-A-B, that means sea monster, and storm or tumultuous waters. He creates chaos, destruction, things of this nature. Isaiah 51:9. Read this earlier. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the days of all the generations of long ago. Was it not you who cut Rahab in pieces, who pierced the dragon? Job, back to Job, chapter 9, verse 13. God will not turn back his anger, but beneath him crouch the helpers of Rahab, the instruments of negative volition used by Satan. Job 26:12. He quieted the sea with his power, and by his understanding he shattered Rahab, the sea, personifying peoples, nations, etc. 26:12 of Job. And then Psalm 89:10. You yourself did crush Rahab like one who is slain. You did scatter your enemies with your mighty arm. In Isaiah 30, verse 7. Even Egypt, whose help is vain and empty, therefore I have called her Rahab, who has been exterminated. And she imitated Satan in her agenda. 6 is called the roaring lion, who is roaming about on the earth seeking to devour his prey. We saw that first class, 1 Peter 5:8. Instilling fear in the hearts of men. He promotes big-time sin fear, conditions to bring that about. 7 is known as the enemy or adversary. The Greek word with the definite article ho in to dikos, A-N-T-I-D-I-K-O-S, again, 1 Peter 5:8. 8, he is referred to as Belial, the Greek word Beliar, B-E-L-I-A-R. That word means worthless. Worthless. 2 Corinthians 6:15. Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Was a believer in common with an unbeliever. Those who align themselves to the human viewpoint of Satan, their human good, all these other things, are worthless. There is no harmony. For those who are supposed to stand for Christ and represent him. 9, he is referred to as angel of light, noting his expertise of twisting doctrine his own distorted form and purposes. So it indicates he is behind perverted and counterfeit religion. For all the aspects of the divine viewpoint, the commands, principles of doctrine, things of this nature, Satan has a counterfeit. It looks good on the surface, but it's false. It's not the real McCoy. 2 Corinthians 11:14. His primary modus operandi in this vein is through false teaching of doctrine. Those communicators otherwise who may even carry the banner of Christianity, could be believers, known as false apostles, deceitful workers, verse 13, men disguising themselves as apostles of Christ, putting on the appearance, the pious appearance that the world expects under negative volition for how one may look. People gravitate towards ministries, communicators, often for the wrong reasons. This is all part of their religiosity, counterfeit religions that Satan has introduced to the world through men, negative volition. And then the world expects people to all wear collar, communicators, robes, you know, the garb, all these other things. And it's through that venue that Satan then destroys the integrity of true Christianity. In verse 14, and no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself into an angel of light. As he attempted to do with Christ in the wilderness temptations, throwing the doctrine at him, like he's giving Christ, teaching Christ doctrine. So, again, this is a principle that is grossly and mostly lost on the human race. The ecumenical movement of today, world ecumenicalism, ecclesiastical masonry, all these religious aspects coming in and taking the truth of doctrine, distorting it into one form or another, ultimately to enhance Satan's goal of a one world government and one world religion. Don't feel left out in the cold because you attend a church that separates itself from the majority, even of Christendom today. You will not find pure truth on every street corner you turn around in the Laodicean period. All this is success of Satan utilizing the tongues of communicators who disguise themselves as being representatives of God's plan otherwise. And unfortunately, many, if not most, of these are believers. Now, you have the unbelievers, the wolves out there. You have those legalists, such as the Judaizers, that are represented in the New Testament, things of this nature. They are nothing more than taking distorted doctrine that Satan is an author of and passing it off as being God's plan. If you want the surety of whether you're getting the truth or not, after the 18 years I've been here, well, you need to keep on doing what I've been telling you to do all these years, and that is staying in fellowship when you come to Bible class. Getting in fellowship and isolating the sin nature and looking at the scriptures verse by verse, doctrine by doctrine, as they're presented, and investigate it for yourself. The angel of light is doing his utmost to have influence on the church in the last days, at which he is greatly successful in bringing it down into a lukewarm state, making God sick enough to puke us out. This is not anything to take lightly or think about lightly in one's life in regard to where one will attach themselves for their spiritual well-being in life. See? Sound communicators don't put up with the BS in that respect. Bible doctrine called black, black, white, white. And so it is. And people that align themselves otherwise are doing no more than being their own counterfeit imitations of the angel of light. This is your salvation. This is your lifeline. It's the book of which we have devoted our life as a local church to understanding and studying correctly under the filling ministry of God the Holy Spirit. That protects us and preserves us, obviously, not omitting God's direct participation in circumstances, situation, life through His omnipotence, etc. Why we don't vary, why we don't stray, again, if there's a better way to do it, I wish somebody would please tell me before I waste all my life. But there isn't. You don't think that we haven't, and like mine appears, investigated these avenues? Yes, we have. Is there any way better? Verse by verse, book by book, day in, day out, et cetera, et cetera. That's how dangerous it is. Again, the importance of the doctrine of separation in one's life. People that tend to gravitate towards those who hold a human viewpoint will and are influenced by them eventually. It doesn't take much, a thought, to get you off the straight and narrow of the truth of Bible doctrine in time. And that could be the very next negative person that you want to chum up with, influencing you in regards to your own life. Let's see. Allowing them to provide you with the instruction rather than what God's provided you otherwise with respect to this local church. 10, he is known, and this really puts it in perspective, as Beelzebul. That's the Greek word transliterated, Beelzebul. Z-E-B-O-U-L. That means Lord of the Flies or Dung. Skubale in the Greek. And indicates he rules over all filth and that despicable and evil. All these things obviously paint a picture that is completely and totally disgusting. And that is as it looks and is towards God. For those who align themselves with Satan otherwise in their life, whether it's an open, outright rebellion in unbelief as an unbeliever, or becoming POWs in regards to letting their STAs rule and abandoning sound Bible doctrine otherwise in their lives. His title is used, Matthew 10:25. Just don't forget what the masses of people did at the Operation Babel. You want to follow the crowd? Fine, go build your tower. Go build your city. Uh, Matthew 10:25, to look at the masses as your leadership is almost always an error. The herd mentality. That whole idea has distorted the very nation and form of government which we live in and how people now perceive it. A democracy. Now, if the majority wants your car, they'll come and get it. Call that total terror. Anyway, we call something totalitarianism, something like that. See? No, we're not that. But anyway, our Constitution's been trashed. You got people weekly, truly, trying to make their voice heard. But Babylon is now Babylon in a full-time basis. You won't recognize this country when it's taken out of this world except through a smoldering and burnt condition. Verse 25, get me off on this stuff. We'll do that the next doctrine, nationalism. It is enough for the disciple that he becomes as his teacher. This is the instructions that Christ gives under the proper chain of command here, obviously in a spiritual setting. And a student is not above his teacher. Verse 24, that denotes part of the protocol of the adjusted believer in acclimating to the spiritual authority that God establishes in their life. Nor a slave above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he becomes as his teacher. Well, you may shudder to think about coming like me. Well, all I can tell you is you could do a hell of a lot worse. I'm not patting myself on the back by any stretch of imagination. I'm talking doctrinally. I'm talking about my frame of reference, how I understand the Bible. And what I've chosen, and how I've chosen to live my life. Commitment, loyalty, you know. I've always been taught to lead by example. And I'm weak. I'm a growing believer. Yeah, I have my areas. But still, that's the doctrine. See, I'm not patting myself on the back. That's the doctrine. And it's one of those doctrines that I gapped early on when I was a sheep. And man, am I thankful I did. Let people say what they want to say. If it's not the truth, your pastor's going off the wrong way, God will protect you. Don't worry about it. It's not going to take much to get rid of someone if necessary and protect Paul's volition. It's enough for a disciple that he becomes as his teacher and a slave as his master. If they have called the head of the house Beelzebul, how much more the members of this household. And this is the Jews slandering Jesus. Giving him the name of Satan. The low opinion that people not on sound doctrine often have in regards to those who are on doctrine. Especially those who are strong in doctrine and hold the course. They didn't have any excuse because Jesus Christ is perfect. You can imagine the excuses and areas of weakness that believers will pull out of the basket to attack other believers otherwise. 12, Matthew 12, 24 and 27. Christ in his ministry, casting out demons, the Pharisees make again blasphemous accusations in regards to the power that he uses to do it. verse 24, when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this man casts out demons only by Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons. In other words, he's just a fake demon activity trying to suck people in. See? And Christ uses doctrine against them. Well, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? To divide your own household, divide the house, watch it fall. Verse 27, if I by Beelzebul cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? Consequently, they shall be your judges. Mark 3:22. Again, same parallel. Luke 11. Let's see if that's the same thing. Yeah, another parallel. But all those instances, Beelzebul is the term given for Satan. Levin, he is known as prince, ruler of this world. John 12:31. Now judgment of this world is now. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Be a Christ's work on the cross. John 16:11. So the ruler of this world, maintaining control and power through the sin nature of men. 16:11, again, parallel concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. He's known as 12, the God of this world. What those who displace doctrine with their own sacred cows, human viewpoint, false ideologies, philosophies, etc., they, in essence, in principle, are simply given obeisance, you know, to their God, Satan. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Verse 3, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. Through his trickery, deceit, veil of the sin nature, and cosmic alternatives to the doctrine, that they might not see the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. He's referred to as prince of the power of the air, denoting the spiritual dimension of reality and all the things that are going on behind the scenes of mankind and history in the angelic conflict. Ephesians 2:2, which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, all unbelievers are in step with Satan. 14, he is known as the father of all lies. John 8:44. We read that earlier class. The very concept of lying comes from Satan. just as he engaged in the activity with Eve in the garden. 15 is known as the deceiver, our Greek term, ho planon, P-L-A-N-O-N. Revelation passage again. The accuser, the deceiver. 12:9. Who deceived the whole world. The deceiver of the whole world. 16, he is the tempter. He provides the source for the SCA to gravitate towards and to express itself. For Adam and Eve, that was to eat of the fruit of the tree of good and evil. That's our Greek ho, pyrazomai, P-E-I-R-A-Z-O-M-A-I, the tempter. Matthew 4:3, that's what he's referred to in the wilderness temptation. Christ, the tempter. The tempter came and said to him, First Thessalonians 3:5. There, in the context of Paul and concern for the Thessalonians, as he had to quickly exit the situation, and his concern for this new church founded under his ministry, and he sends Timothy to see what their conditions like after the fact. For this reason, when I could endure it no longer, I also sent to find out about your faith, for fear that the tempter might have tempted you, and our labor should be in vain. 17, he is called the Prince of Tyre. This title indicates he has his own cosmic system of prosperity for peoples and nations. As we have stated in the past, Satan blesses his own. The cosmos blesses its own. And there's a difference between the cosmos blessing you and God blessing you. Tyre is known for his affluence, wealth, etc. Ezekiel 28:12. There in that passage about Satan, the King of Tyre is a title given him in dual reference. Eighteen, he is known as a spirit now working in the sons of disobedience. That is in the Ephesians 2:2 passage that indicates unbelievers have seen the spiritual disposition of Satan. They are under spiritual death, under the rulership of the sin nature, unbridled, not ever broken. 19, the accuser, the Greek term ho kategor, K-A-T-E-G-O-R, the accuser. Who accuses brothers night and day, Revelation 12:10. All right, this is as good a place as any to stop. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light us to see these things in Jesus' name. Amen.